And let's continue this conversation about voting rights with Julian Zelizer. He's a professor of history and public affairs at Princeton. Julian, before we dive into the history, I do want to collect your thoughts on today, because we see voting rights in question before the Supreme Court and across the country in many state legislatures. And critics say these are efforts to make it more difficult for some people to vote, minorities in particular. So what do you make of this moment when voting rights appear threatened?
Well, I think the critics are right. We've been moving in the wrong direction from 1965. Rather than strengthening voting rights and trying to make it easier to vote, we've seen efforts at the state level to curtail the ability of people to vote. We had the 2013 Supreme Court decision, which undermined part of the Voting Rights Act. And now we're watching to see if the Supreme Court takes another big bite out of the federal protections that prevent states from restricting the right of Americans to be part of our democracy.
You mentioned two key years there, 2013 and 1965. Let's get into the first one first. 1965 is, of course, when President Lyndon Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act on August 6th of that year. And here's a bit of the message that he delivered to the nation on that day.
The wrong is one which no American in his heart can justify. The right is one which no American, true to our principles, can deny.
Now, Julian, that was 1965, 100 years after the end of the Civil War. I mean, why did it take a full century to pass a law aimed at ensuring that Black Americans would have the same right to vote as whites?
Well, the opposition to voting rights in the South was immense. African Americans couldn't register to vote. They faced a barrage of literacy tests, poll taxes, questions about minute parts of the state constitution, and even outright intimidation and violence. And in Congress, a coalition of Southern Democrats and Republicans were able to prevent legislation each time it was proposed, using mechanisms like the filibuster to stop growing numbers of senators who wanted to push legislation from succeeding.
You know, those measures that you're describing, the poll taxes, literacy tests, of course, eroded progress that had been made during Reconstruction when Black Americans had made notable gains at the ballot box during Reconstruction. And so the Voting Rights Act, in a way, was a way of reinforcing rights that, in theory, already existed under the 15th Amendment, right?
That's absolutely true. The Voting Rights Act wasn't granting that right. They were committing the federal government to protecting that right. It came, the legislation in 1965, after it had become painfully clear how far governments were willing to go at the state level to prevent that amendment from being fulfilled.
So let's get specific here. What in particular did the Voting Rights Act do?
Well, one part is what Emily talked about, the part that's under threat right now, in that it forbade state laws that resulted in African Americans not being able to vote. It also had what was called a preclearance provision, which meant that if a government wanted to change how they did the voting and that state had a record of discrimination, they needed the approval of the Department of Justice, and the Department of Justice could essentially block that. Those were two of the key provisions. It also prohibited the use of literacy tests and other kinds of restrictions that had been part of that Jim Crow era.
And that preclearance provision was significantly weakened by a Supreme Court ruling in 2013. I think that's the Shelby case that you were referring to earlier. But was the Voting Rights Act in danger even before then?
It was. Journalists and scholars like Ari Berman and Michael Waldman have written pretty good histories of how there was a growing effort within conservative circles since the 1980s to start to push back against the Voting Rights Act and what it had accomplished, and to free up the states to, you know, have more latitude to set their own laws. But it really wasn't until the 2010s that we saw the all-out assault begin. Until then, there had still been Republican support, bipartisan support for the Voting Rights Act from Republicans like Bob Dole, who continued to push the reauthorization of that law. So we're really looking at the last 10 years when we've seen a significant change in the bipartisan support for these measures.
That's Julian Zelizer. He's a professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Julian, thanks as always for your time.
Thanks for having me.